If it's complicated, we're to be truly forward-thinking. We'd pivot into being a directory and community exclusively for therapists specializing in psychedelic science. I'm, of course, exaggerating, but only slightly. With the current landscape of psychological and psychiatric research, psychedelic-assisted therapy appears to be the future of mental health. In this episode, I've edited a Mind Mingles webinar featuring a conversation with Swedish integrative therapist Jan Sandblom about the value of psychedelic integration work. He explains what typically occurs in the integration workshops he facilitates, who benefits from this type of work, and where psychedelic-assisted therapy seems to be heading.
So my name is Jan Sandblom. I'm from Sweden and trained to become a psychotherapist in the UK and Scotland, where I also did studies in psychology. So in a way, I went from a quite scientific lens in my psychology years to then realizing that there was a lot of unlearning to do when I then wanted to really work with people, because that was my big ambition on some level all the time. And for many reasons, I moved to Berlin 3 years ago. But one of them was that I started a course here at Mind Foundation. It's called Augmented Psychotherapy. So that includes psychedelic assisted therapy, psychedelic integration, and using various tools to induce psychedelic experiences and working with that within a therapeutic context. So I did the integration part of that, so that was 1 year. And then I was in Berlin and started working here in Mittelberg and setting up my private practice. And that's sort of my journey. And also important to mention is that through Mind Foundation, I also started to host collaborative workshops with them on psychedelic integration. 4-day workshops, group processes, and that together with my one-to-one individual practice as a person-centered therapist feels very meaningful for me.
You mentioned realizing that you needed to unlearn some aspects of your more scientific, clinical studies. So maybe if you can flesh out that realization that led you to pursue training in psychedelic integration work.
Yes, when I studied psychology, I noticed the basis of many assumptions around mental health, what constitutes a diagnosis, what constitutes the process to create the theoretical frameworks and how are they implemented and how is research conducted in the field. And so I did a lot of neuroscience, and so I could draw lots of correlations and associations between different diagnostic disorders and also different states with the brain, and also clinically relevant sort of discourse that when it came to actually understanding, okay, what does it mean to treat a person and to really offer conditions that help someone overcome their difficulties or their problems, then I had an inkling that there was something really missing in this. It felt like few people were able to convey these theories or these scientific pursuits in a way that really resonated for me a deeper level that I could see being translated into a therapeutic experience. So as an interest on the side to my studies, I started to notice the sort of burgeoning forms of psychedelic therapies in the States primarily. Well, I was actually really drawn to the types of therapies offered in like early MDMA assisted therapy trials for treatment of post-traumatic stress disorder, and emphasis on non-directivity, offering empathic space, and well, in a way, how to be really present with someone undergoing a big transformative experience, and how to trust the person's own inner directivity, inner process. They can use terms like inner healing intelligence, which I think sounds a quite out there, but it's something about the person's own capacity to find the answers if given the right context. And it was sort of in through that curiosity that I then found my own therapeutic approach that really resonated with me, which is the person-centered framework, which is a humanistic therapy developed from the 50s and onwards by Carl Rogers. And then I kind of switched gear, and I really noticed, to kind of actually answer your question or get closer to that, how many of the assumptions that I could bring in to a session with a client, and how many ideas I would have about what might be helpful for the person, and or what is going on with the person. I could have a whole map in front of me, but really what I needed to do was to kind of let go of that for myself, and in order to create space where I felt the person and the person felt me, and we could enter into something that was more alive, I think. So that's sort of the unlearning bit in a way. Yeah. It's an experiential aspect. Yeah.
And was it then, I mean, because that's how the story usually goes with people who are drawn to train in the field of psychedelic assisted therapy, that there's the starting point is as a participant. Was it like that with you?
Yes, so I noticed that there was actually a sort of a community of people really interested in exploring what can we do with psychedelics, how can we study them, and what can they mean for therapy. And there was, I think, the first iteration of INSIGHT, which is a conference on psychedelic science, really, in Berlin. The first iteration was maybe seven years ago, called Drug Science, and I was meant to share my research on this sort of schizotype personality actually relates to certain states related to ketamine and other psychedelic type drugs, and autism and various sort of little components. This is sort of as a way to get closer to how we can study these substances and these phenomena. But my supervisor didn't allow me to do that because he thought that ultimately psychedelics are a bit too risky. So I was sort of hushed away from that. So I could also sense how taboo the topic of psychedelic is in the scientific field, and how certain questions need to be asked within a framework that is already established. And but I came in contact with peers and a really sort of vibrant and alive discourse around these topics. So from there on, I started to go to many of these conferences and meet people who are interested in similar things. And also my own experiences for sure are significant for my interest in as a field and as something that can be used therapeutically, and also as a way to inform psychotherapy in a way. What are the qualities within these experiences that feels meaningful and that also relates to integration, something that I learned something from, something that helps me grow? What is it in that mimics therapeutic processes that happen in kind of traditional therapy? So yeah, many things kind of happening in parallel, I suppose. Yeah,
it sounds so interesting. Would you recommend the training? I mean, we're probably quite a few who have been considering, are still considering, you know, going to Berlin to do exactly that training.
So I did the first year out of two, and there were many things that are really valid about that training. And I also noticed how the study of psychedelic states and its therapeutic potential is really in its infancy in many ways. I mean, of course, psychedelics have been used for thousands of years in many different cultures around the world, but really as a therapeutic discipline, really since the 50s have we studied what happens when we combine psychedelics within a therapeutic context. So kind of drawing on studies coming out, you know, just freshly this year. So it was a way to also kind of catch the wave a bit and to be kind of in the mix most people who are also very interested, and more as a platform for exploring, rather than, I felt like, really learning tool, taking on tools and like, okay, this is really what it means to be a psychedelic therapist, because we were offered some very helpful frameworks and maps. But that's, it was very much a collaborative process, which I think in itself is probably the most valuable part of such a course. So it's not that you go to a course like this and then you get sort of the knowledge needed. It's, well, you can reach that point through understanding yourself and in relation to others who are also asking these questions and trying to fine-tune their own professional perspective. So we had a psychiatrist, we had a clinical psychologist and therapists from various backgrounds, and we all think that we have the answers and that we're all trying to sort of fit it into how we work, and also see how we can go beyond this sort of the expected confines of I have my own clients and I work in isolation, but rather how to start to collaborate in different ways or see possibilities of working in a more interdisciplinary way. So
yeah.
So that for me is sort of the beautiful part of a course like this. And for me, I really thought that the integration part was for me the what I could also integrate into my own practice, whereas psychedelic therapy is very restricted legally and in Germany and also, yeah, quite limited in access to those learning spaces, and I wanted something quite practical. So
right,
yeah,
so
it's up to you, it's up to your own curiosity.
Yeah. And was that also why you ended up stopping at the 1 year of training, because that was the integration part and you found that so useful and readily applicable to your private practice?
Yes.
What's the second year?
So, okay. So the first year is around psychedelic integration, and the second year is psychedelic therapy and psychedelic assisted therapy.
Okay.
And they already do ketamine assisted therapy, and this institute also runs the largest study on psilocybin treatment with psilocybin for depression in Germany. It's state funded, and they have 140-150 participants, and they should be quite well into it by now, and that's also their goal, to be able to use psilocybin for treatment. But it's all very early stages, so I felt for my purposes, also with my, also what I felt on how I see therapeutic process, felt like, in a way, I worked in ways that I felt very compatible with an integration framework, which basically means to, like, my presumption is that people bring me experiences that have been overwhelming in one way or another, and by staying really close to what that experience means to them, they will by themselves find a certain closeness, certain acceptance, be able to put an experience into the sort of the fabric of their own life, rather than it being an isolated experience or multiple experiences that don't have a place within themselves. So I felt in many ways it was what I encountered through discussions around psychedelic integration and treatment, was that something very close to what I felt was already what I was pursuing therapeutically, was sort of an appropriate form also to work with psychedelics and psychedelic integration. So they were quite close already, and then I felt like, okay, I might be have enough. I sort of reached a point of learning where I felt like, okay, it's time to take a break, which is also in I think psychedelic language, when you get the message, I sort of hung up the phone. Don't overdo psychedelic experiences either, which can I think can also apply to trainings and education. If once you start to feel like you kind of you got what it needs, then it's about transforming that into a practice or something that feels embodied. So that's in a way, I think that's what I've been trying to do since then for the last year.
You were saturated by then.
I was saturated. Mm-hmm.
And you mentioned these useful frameworks. I've only been to they haven't existed for that long. I've been to two of the Insight conferences, and I notice a lot of ACT metaphors. And then I'm wondering, you said interdisciplinary ways of working, and I did this lovely podcast interview with Sadie Smith, who does guided imagery and music. Were these the types of frameworks that you had some training in, or what were the kind of tools that you were offering?
Yeah, so one of the most valuable parts of the training, I think, was the Beyond Experience workshop that I mentioned earlier that I'm also now facilitating. Because that really tries to bring in the sort of practical components, kind of taking theory that is often very related to ACT, and also transpersonal psychology and mindfulness, and to actually explore what it means in person. So the way these workshops are set up is kind of like its own experience so it's over 4 days, and the first day is really about it's getting in contact with yourself in a group and starting to find also what is your intention to be in this space and what is it that brings you here and a lot of play, a lot of sort of getting into the body, a lot of warming up and shaking out something to sort of leave a certain openness to deeper dives into, we do trance journeys, kind of guided imagery exercises, or we work with dance and improvisation, and then the more sort of intense parts of these 4 days is on the third day, which sort of reaches a peak in a way, which is we do autobiographical work, going quite deep into sharing, opening up more vulnerability, and also working in a Jungian sense with archetypes and encounters and trying to really go quite deep. And then in the fourth day to sort of wrap things together, integrate, and to sort of come back together. Mm-hmm.
Because does it presuppose that each of you participants has had a recent psychedelic experience?
No, or it's open for anyone who's interested in learning about and learning how to have an integration attitude. So in a way, integration also means like the overall attitude relating to these substances. So and experiences. So it's actually not focused on the substance itself, but rather any form of experience. It can be through meditation. It can be through intense social situations. And breath work is also something that I often do in these workshops. So there's various tools or various ways to reach these intense states. And then the question is, okay, what do we do with them? So usually some people have had a psychedelic experience with substances, but sometimes not. Sometimes someone is just curious and wants to sort of understand what it might mean to go into such an experience, and therefore this workshop is more of a preparation in itself. So going through intense emotional work in order to sort of lay some sort of a foundation. So it varies, and I think the main thing is really to try to understand what is it about these states that are meaningful for you individually, and what is your reason for stepping in and wanting to learn about this?
Are they usually 4 days?
Yeah, it used to be 5 days, but they turned into 4 day workshops. Yeah.
And is there then a culmination of sorts on the last day, or if you were to describe kind of like the trajectory in those terms?
Yeah, it's a very vulnerable process for most people. I mean, me included. It was on the third day, you're suddenly trusting people to really sort of show yourself and to do various exercises where you start to maybe also like see new sides of yourself or to come in contact with sometimes more childlike sides of yourself. So yeah, it stirs up a lot of emotions. And so it's really important on the fourth day then to be able to sort of come back and really have a sense of holding and sort of reconnecting, something that can otherwise feel quite expanded and big and confusing. So it's in a way trying to model the sort of part of the long-term integration process, which is kind of coming back to people, being able to actually share the experience with others to prevent feeling isolated with something that is very vulnerable. And often also people stay in contact and organize little get-togethers afterwards. So it's a way to meet and bond with like-minded people, I think. Also from all walks of life, which I think is very precious. Yeah.
Did you get friends for life?
Yeah, I did.
So I also wanted to hear you a bit about when you've then been co-facilitating these workshops, Beyond Experience, they're called, did you say?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What are the outcomes or transformations that you've observed in participants?
It's very varied. My feeling is that most people are really touched deeply in one way or another. Yeah, it's an intense couple of days. So many forms of expression and experiencing. And yeah, it's just there's something really, it's hard to put a finger on it, really. In a way, it's a therapeutic process or a healing process because you create a safe space with others and start to explore yourself in relation to others and also just sort of in your own way. And it seems to open up quite a lot for people. This is often a sense that, okay, this will take a bit of time to just sort of, I have a lot to reflect on now. And also, yeah. Also the sense that you're not left alone, but actually you have now encountered a sense of community that you can continue to nurture. So I think that's a nice combination. And yeah, some people come with really, really difficult backgrounds and stories and experiences that of course shape the group dynamic a lot. And it also really depends on how the facilitator themselves choose to sort of what exercises to do or how to sort of what to focus in on and how much group process to allow or yeah. It's very difficult to pinpoint, actually. But a lot of people seem to be really moved and feel that it's meaningful in a very unique way. And also that there are few spaces like this, yeah, where you can also get, in a way, like psychoeducation and harm reduction and these sort of cultural and philosophical discussions and also lectures mixed in with experiential components. So actually being able to put some of these ideas into practice, like just the next hour or the next day, I think there's a lot going on. So few people are left untouched, I think. Yeah.
That's why I love the word catharsis or cathartic, because I remember reading that the initial meaning of the word is, you know, to be transformed, to be moved in one way or another.
Mm-hmm.
So it does sound very much like that is the kind of transformation that takes place in many different ways.
Yes, and I think it's important that it's in different levels. It's in the body. It's actually through movement of the body and trying to release energy that is, or sensations that are in the body, and then being able to share also our stories about ourselves, and so being able to transform different aspects of ourselves into a new language or into something that can be symbolized in a social context, in a supportive group. So yeah, I think it's probably cathartic on many levels if it happens well. I mean, it's also, it's a group, so things also happen in their own way sometimes.
And would you say there are particular types of people or issues that seem to benefit particularly from integration work?
I mean, starting point for psychedelic integration is, as I suppose what I touched on with around the attitude related to psychedelic integration. So as a more holistic view of, well, I suppose there's different steps here. We can either see psychedelic experiences as a sort of one-off, strange, beautiful, weird or difficult encounter, or just something that happens, and then we keep it as a story maybe, or something. It's sort of separate to ourselves. As in a state of poor integration, we don't really know what to do with it or how it relates to our day-to-day life. It separates from us. And then you have a model which says, well, psychedelic integration is about what you do before a psychedelic experience and during and then afterwards. And usually integration is seen as the as what happens after an experience. Now you've had an experience, now you need to integrate it. And that can also follow a bit of sort of Western medical structure. But then actually more broadly, if you take a more holistic view on psychedelic integration, it's something that's already embedded in cultures and communities that have been using these substances or to enter these experiences for a long time. It's sort of, it doesn't begin or end really. So I think a good first step is to start to perhaps work on seeing this sort of the willing to explore the larger context in which you're interested in these experiences. You're interested in experiencing yourself in a different way, and then what you do with that. So what we notice from psychedelic trials, like with psychedelic therapy, is that it's not quite enough to just have an experience on its own, because most people would not really know what to do with experience afterwards, because also the intensity and also the sort of the type of almost like metaphysical assumptions that can be questioned in such an kind of extreme state kind of clashes with the day-to-day society and then oneself, sense of self. So having access to either sort of habits that support ongoing learning and preparation, I think are really important, and to also be willing to see like integration as something that is embedded in what you're already doing. And I think it's therefore important that someone who's working with a therapist can also bring these experiences into the therapeutic work. So you might have an experience on outside of like not like with friends or by yourself or with a guide or in many different ways, but then sort of find a way to bring that into. So for me, it's more about like those aspects that feed into any person's willingness to and readiness to make sense and that make these experiences their own, rather than being helpful for any given person, for example. But also in a harm reduction framework, some people who are having acute psychosis or who are like, the more sort of severe your problems are, the harder it's also going to be to manage partly the state that you're entering into, and also the aftermath, the sort of fragmentation often that can happen in the immediate aftermath of a psychedelic experience. So yeah, there's a lot of different factors there, and then maybe it's just something about the research that's been ongoing on have indicated that, for example, MDMA can be particularly helpful for people with PTSD in transforming the traumatic lived experience into something that can actually be accepted and therefore part of their sense of self, but not in a threat to their self. And also for psilocybin to possibly be really helpful for depression, as well as ketamine for depression. But then the nuances of that, I think, is also important to sort of to look into and to not assume that these are substances or experiences that by themselves will have curative effects always or even often. And so psychedelic integration, I think, is something that is important for sort of everyone interested in these states and who engage with these states. Yeah, that's a lot of different stuff. So I hope some of that made sense. Yeah.
Definitely. Something about what you said, that it's not enough to have the experience. You have to link it to the larger context, made me wonder whether when you co-facilitate the workshops, like, do you see, besides like a therapeutic potential, a political potential?
The only thing that really comes up for me is the emphasis on self-efficacy. Like, in some sense, there's a lot of political aspects around use of psychedelics and these states themselves. And then there's also a lot of political aspects around the use of indigenous plants and of, in a sort of neo-colonial sense, of sort of trying to extract practices and get the most out of these ancient traditions. And then you can also talk about pharmaceutical industries trying to patent these substances, also in how they should be used within a therapeutic context. So people's access to healthcare and to therapy is also another political angle. So there's in a way, psychedelics, I think, will always be political, and this sort of psychedelic integration work is also how to understand what is important for you and to be lucid about the implications of engaging in also a certain psychedelic subcultures or in certain assumptions that are perhaps made in even scientific realms around the validity of the sort of Western framework around mental health. So yeah, those are sort of some areas that for sure can be explored further.
I guess that makes a lot of sense, how it can empower a person to have a more, you know, anti-capitalist approach to their mental wellness. Yeah.
Yes. So also the idea of what are you integrating into, if you think the psychedelic integration is still okay. Now you learn from the experience that you've had, and now you're going to just become a more productive member of society and the questioning of societal norms or structures. If there's not room for that, then you're just going to go kind of back in the same cycle and be frustrated on a sort of subconscious level anyways. So
where do you see all of this heading? Well, big question. I'm sorry.
Maybe it's too vague.
No,
I think that's on everyone's mind, or a lot of people's mind, where things are going. And there's a lot of concern about psychedelics becoming medicalized, and therefore integration also becoming something that is prescribed as part of a psychedelic treatment. And I think there's so many different aspects that in kind of intermingling worlds that it's very difficult to sort of predict how things will go. There have been attempts over the last couple of years to really sort of capitalize on what's called the psychedelic renaissance. And so, I mentioned patents from drug manufacturing companies and big investments into new psychedelic startups. And it seems like there was a boom, and then it crashed a bit, because actually what is difficult with such a boundary, like intrinsically boundary crossing entity such as psychedelic, is hard to contain. It's really difficult, and people will ultimately also make their own decisions about access. It's hard if you push too hard into formalizing and and institutionalizing theater experiences, then you risk having a big black market, so to speak, or big underground cultures that then, well, they have their own risks for sure. So it's no one knows really. And I think what is being recognized, and also something that I really value with an institution like Mind Foundation here in Berlin, is that they try to integrate these experiences and offer education around psychedelic integration in a way that brings in the medical world whilst also staying, I think, relatively open to various forms of what's called salutogenic purposes, so self-growth and other forms. So I think it's about really trying to strike a balance and never thinking that you have that sort of your approach to these experiences is the right one. It's a constant sort of learning and process, I think, and being humble to the complexity.
Thank you so much, John. This was really very valuable and inspiring.
Thank you, Anna. It was really valuable for me to put some things into words and just try to share a bit of what I see from my place in this field. Yeah. So thank you a lot for organizing it and inviting me.
Mm-hmm. You're welcome.
If you're interested in learning more about psychedelic integration work, you can visit the It's Complicated community at community.complicated.life. We've recently launched, or should I say, planted the first seeds of our psychedelic integration garden, where you can find resources and ask experts questions about this fascinating topic. Until next time.